Now, in the first group, I saw two of my very close female relatives, as well as a 12-year-old, also a relative of mine. I knew she was 12 because that was how old she was at the time of her death. In the second group, I also saw some of my relatives, as well as a pastor whom I knew very well. Jakes, my boyfriend, who had committed suicide because I gave my life to Christ, was also in the second group. I saw some of my neighbors in both groups as well. I recognized the people I knew before their deaths. They also recognized me. My relatives were very angry when they saw me, and they started to shout obscenities at me. They were using the most vulgar language as they were cursing me. One of them said that I was not worthy of following the man who was with me. They were telling things that I used to do before I gave my life to Christ. They were not lying. The things of which they were accusing me were the truth. Jakes was saying that I belonged to him and should go where he was because I have committed the same sins as he. At first, the pastor seemed happy to see me, and he said I did well by coming. But his attitude changed immediately when he saw who was accompanying me. And then he also joined in the cursing and the use of obscene language. The men with me told me to ignore them, for they did not know what they were doing. Oh, I was petrified and extremely sad. My body was shaking and I could not stand. I was crying uncontrollably. The men turned to me, gave me a hug and said, "Peace be with you, Victoria." My strength returned and I felt very secure in his embrace. Then he told me that we had to leave the place and to go back. He looked at me and said, "Victoria, I have shown you. Now you must choose in which of the two groups you want to be. The choice is in your hands. You must tell the people everything you have seen and experienced, but do not add or omit anything." I remember that we left the place of horror together, but I do not know where I left him. Because when I became aware, I opened my eyes and I was back in my physical body, lying in Oshakati Hospital. There was a drip on my left arm, and I saw my mother and other neighbors from our village in one corner of the room where they were looking at me in amazement. I could see on my mother's face that she had been crying. I asked one of the nurses if she knew what was wrong with me, but she only made a joke and said, "You were sent back. Perhaps you have done something wrong and you need to repent." The nurse was trying to speak lightheartedly about my condition, but I could see she was afraid to come closer to me. I asked her to call the doctor who attended me. When he arrived, he said that he did not know what was wrong with me. Initially, he had thought that I had contracted malaria, but the malaria results were negative. He continued to tell me that my temperature, pulse, and blood pressure were dangerously low, but he could not find the cause for it. He said that there was nothing wrong with me and there was nothing he could do for me. He could not admit me because I was not sick. The drip they had applied was not working at first, but when I opened my eyes, it started to work. He recommended that the nurse administered another drip to me once the first one had finished, so that I could get enough strength to go home. I was frightened by what I saw in that place and couldn't stop crying. The stench of that horrible place continued to be as real as when I was there. The scenes from that place were flashing before me all the time. I was unable to sleep. My whole body was in great pain. I felt as though all my limbs had been taken apart and reassembled. Oh, I felt awful. I had diarrhea and a pounding headache for an entire week. My mind was made up that I would not talk to anybody about my experiences because who would believe me? What would people think? I kept telling myself that I would never relate my experiences to anybody. However, One of my mentors phoned me 3 days later to inquire about my well-being because I sent her a text message from my cellular phone asking her to pray for me. Before I knew it, I was telling her about my experiences. When I realized what I was doing, I had already told her most of the story. I wanted to kick myself. I was crying because I was convinced that I had made the biggest mistake of my life. Now the story was told. There was no possibility I could hide it anymore. Now I knew that if God wants something to be told, it will be told. He is God after all. On the 19th of August 2005, I woke up feeling the signs of the anointing in my physical body. I was weak and trembling, while waves of electricity were going through my body. In the evening, I saw a brilliant light coming into the room, and in the midst of the light, that same man was. This time, the man sat down on a chair next to my bed. I have no idea where the chair came from, but it was there as soon as he was ready to sit down. It was a beautiful chair made of solid gold. The shape was that of a conventional chair with back support. On each leg was a silver star embedded in the gold. The same star was also in the center of the back support. There are round wheels on each leg of the chair. Now, after the man greeted me, he told me that he knew that I had many questions about his identity and that he came to reveal himself to me and to explain certain things that I have experienced. He said, "Victoria, I am Jesus Christ, your Savior. If you have any doubts, look at my hands. And that place where I took you is hell." When I look at his hand, I saw scars where the nails pierced him. Dear friend, I want to tell you that hell is not a figment of anybody's imagination. It is a real place, and it is unpleasant. It was not made for people, but for Satan and his demons. Our rightful place as human is in heaven with Jesus Christ. But we have to choose Jesus before it is too late. Today, when you hear the voice of the Lord, do not harden your heart. Accept Jesus as your personal Savior today and live for Him. Hell is a terrible place. It is a place of fear and sadness. It is a place of torment and eternal cries and gnashing of teeth. Satan wants to take as many people with him as possible. Do not cooperate with the devil. Cooperate with Jesus, and you will live and not die.